Welcome to Journal Club for February 6th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. If you've ever had a washing machine or dryer break down, you'll know that one of the earliest warning signs is a weird sound. You turn the machine on and immediately get hit with a wave of squeaks and whines and whistles and thumps. Maybe a belt is coming loose, maybe a bolt came out, maybe a bearing's been cooked, who knows. But get your checkbook ready either way, because it's probably going to be an expensive week. Now imagine that you're operating a factory. You're not worried about a single appliance, you're dealing with entire fleets of heavy-duty machinery. If one of these machines starts to squeak or tick or thump, it can spell big trouble for your company. And since the machines run all the time, the problem can spiral out of control very quickly. So it's in your best interest to catch any weird noises and address them the moment they happen. In fact, you'd ideally want to have a system that can shut down a machine programmatically the second it starts making a weird noise. But how? You've got a big, loud warehouse with a bunch of big, loud machines in it. How could you or anyone else be expected to be able to hear and pinpoint a single errant whir or pop or tick? How could you possibly hear the one machine in the corner of the room whose normal grinding sound just went up half a pitch? You can't. Our ears can't do that. You need software for this. And this genre of technology is called anomaly sound detection, ASD. In today's episode, we're going to be looking at a new approach to ASD that uses something called contrastive ensemble learning. The authors are arguing that their new system is better able to distinguish between normal and anomalous sounds because it's better able to mitigate the impact of the data imbalance that weakens traditional ASD models. We're going to get into the details of their system soon enough, but we first need to understand how sound processing works in general, and how ASD normally works. As I mentioned, ASD is an ML approach that is typically used in environments where the machinery produces predictable acoustic patterns. In industrial manufacturing, detecting subtle deviations from those patterns can prevent catastrophic equipment failures. But there are a few other major use cases as well. ASD is also applied in healthcare for detecting irregular respiratory or cardiac sounds, and in security systems for identifying unauthorized access attempts. It's also used in automotive diagnostics for pinpointing mechanical faults, and in smart home devices for detecting gas leaks. The unifying purpose of ASD is to automate the detection of anomalies without requiring human intervention. This is what unlocks the possibility of continuous monitoring and early warning systems in applications where manual inspection would be costly, slow, or unreliable. So what does it mean to analyze sounds? What does that process entail on a technical level? Well, sound first gets captured by a microphone as an analog waveform, a continuous variation of air pressure over time. This waveform is then converted into a digital format using an analog-to-digital converter, ADC, which samples the sound at a high frequency, for example, 16 kHz or 44.1 kHz, etc. This process quantizes each sample into discrete numerical values. The resulting digital audio is typically stored in formats such as WAV, FLAC, or MP3, which preserve these numerical representations in various levels of compression and fidelity. A digital sound file is essentially just a sequence of numbers that encode the amplitude of the sound wave at each sampled point in time. For example, in a WAV file, which is an uncompressed or lossless format, the file contains a header followed by a data section. The header stores metadata, such as the sample rate, how many times per second the waveform was measured, the bit depth, how precisely each measurement is stored, for example, 16-bit or 24-bit, and the number of channels, mono or stereo. The data section consists of a long sequence of integers representing the amplitude of the sound wave at each sampled time step. A simple 16-bit WAV file at 44.1 kHz contains 44,100 amplitude values per second, and since 16-bit audio uses signed integers, each of those values could range from -32,768 to 32,767. If the file is stereo, two sets of amplitude values are interleaved, one for the left channel and one for the right. In contrast, MP3 files apply lossly compression, discarding certain frequency components that are less perceptible to human ears. This results in a smaller file size, but less precise waveform reconstruction. Regardless of the format, all digital audio files ultimately store sequences of amplitude values over time, and that's what software can actually analyze. To reiterate here, the software is not analyzing sound itself. It's also not analyzing the images of waveforms that we often see presented as the visual manifestations of sound. It's analyzing numbers, and these numbers are the computer's best approximation of what the sound was. Once the sound is in this digital form, a sequence of numbers, ASD can process it using mathematical transformations to extract relevant features. To put it another way, since we figured out how to get sounds to be numbers, we can use math to process them. Two widely used techniques are short time Fourier transform, STFT, and Mel frequency sepstral coefficients, MFCCs. STFT analyzes the signal by segmenting it into small overlapping time windows and applying a Fourier transform to each window. This converts the signal from the time domain, that's amplitude versus time, into the frequency domain, that's amplitude versus frequency, producing a complex valued matrix that represents how different frequency components evolve over time. MFCCs take a different approach. They extract a compact set of features into a matrix that describes the spectral shape of the sound. The trained models that ASD systems use do not analyze raw audio directly. They operate on the matrices derived from STFT, MFCCs, and other similar mechanisms. These matrices serve as feature representations, capturing both the frequency and temporal characteristics of the sound. The models then analyze these representations to identify deviations from the learned normal patterns. They detect anomalies by recognizing subtle distortions, missing components, or unexpected frequency energy distributions. One of the key challenges in ASD is the data imbalance problem. Normal sound samples are abundant, and by definition, anomalous sound events are rare and unpredictable. This makes it difficult for models to learn distinguishing characteristics. This imbalance often leads to model bias, where ASD systems fail to generalize well to anomalies they've never encountered before. Additionally, defining a clear boundary between normal and abnormal sounds is difficult because noise and environmental variations introduce ambiguity. Traditional methods such as statistical anomaly detection or deep learning-based classifiers struggle with distinguishing between true anomalies and benign variations in sound. The authors of today's paper tried to address these issues by proposing an enhanced contrastive ensemble learning model. To wrap our heads around this approach, it's important to first understand what ensemble learning is. Ensemble learning is a strategy that improves predictive performance by combining multiple models rather than relying on a single one. The idea is that different models capture different aspects of the data, and when their outputs are aggregated through methods like averaging, voting, or weighted combinations, the overall system becomes more accurate and robust. Ensemble learning can take various forms, including bagging, boosting, and stacking. But the model in this paper isn't just an ensemble, it's a contrastive ensemble. So then what is contrastive learning? Contrastive learning is a type of self-supervised learning where a model is trained to understand relationships between data points by comparing similar and dissimilar samples. Rather than relying on labeled data, contrastive learning encourages the model to recognize patterns in unlabeled data by pulling together embeddings of similar examples while pushing apart embeddings of dissimilar ones. This is particularly useful in ASD because labeled noise data is scarce. By integrating contrastive learning into an ensemble framework, the authors create a system that benefits from both diverse model perspectives, that's the ensemble learning, and fine-grained feature discrimination, that's the contrastive learning. This means the system not only learns multiple ways to detect anomalies, but also refines its understanding of what constitutes an anomaly. And this is what improves overall robustness. Their approach had four key pieces. One, the authors developed an improved data augmentation method that introduces realistic noise while preserving critical sound features. This makes the model more resilient to environmental variations. Two, they introduced anomaly sample generation, a technique that creates pseudo-anomalous samples by manipulating normal sounds. This enables the model to learn to detect anomalies without requiring a large number of real abnormal samples. Three, The authors employed contrastive learning for the reasons I mentioned. This allowed them to refine the decision boundary between normal and anomalous cases. And four, they implemented statistical bias compensation, which adjusts model predictions by leveraging statistical distributions of normal and abnormal sounds. This mitigates the impact of data imbalance. It allowed the system to correct for biases that arise when abnormal samples are significantly underrepresented. Their ensemble model ultimately combined the inputs of a time domain model, a frequency domain model, and a statistical bias compensation model. This ensured that it could capture both short-term and long-term sound patterns, differentiate between normal and anomalous sounds, and correct for data imbalances that could otherwise skew anomaly detection results. Once their model was constructed and trained, they evaluated it on its performance across different machine types and testing environments. They primarily used AUC, the area under the curve, as the main metric, but they also measured partial AUC at low false positive rates, and recall. In the end, their model did very well. Results showed that it outperformed existing ASD approaches across all datasets, and particularly excelled in categories with high data imbalance. It also performed significantly better on challenging datasets, where domain shifts, that are changes in operating conditions, typically degrade performance. So overall, I'd say their research was a success. If you're working in audio processing in any way, whether that be for telephony or music or video game audio, I think this research can be quite useful for you. There are innumerable applications that are concerned with noise suppression and the removal of anomalous sounds from streaming audio, and this research is applicable to all of them. If you'd like to dig deeper into how they constructed their model, how they trained it, or the results they obtained, then I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.